everyone, and welcome to Book Solid. We're your hosts. I'm Soraya.
And I'm India.
And today, we're going to be covering Somewhere in the Dark by R.J. Jacobs.
Just before we get started, I just want to give a quick heads up. We are going to be pushing back our episode on Thick by Tressie McMillan Cottom. Don't fret, it'll still be out. It'll just be coming out on the 29th instead. So stay tuned for that. Spoiler alert. Hey guys, just as a heads up, we will be revealing spoilers in this episode. If you haven't yet read the book or seen the show or film, this is a courteous reminder to proceed with caution.
So, diving into our bonus on Somewhere in the Dark, what were your initial thoughts?
Well, I have to say, this was like a fun, quick read. And something that stuck out to me a lot with this book was this whole setting in Nashville. That was such a treat. Like, I loved it. It was the details, the imagery. I felt like I was there. And I know I always say that, but it was fun. We had like this, you know, the country music and just Southern elements coming in. I was trying to visit.
Yeah, no, I agree. And y'all know India and I are the exact same person. So, of course, the first thing I wrote in my notes is, I love the way he's written about Nashville. He really puts you there and sets the stage well. And I believe R.J. Jacobs lives in Nashville himself, I
think. Oh, okay.
So has the experience to write about the city in such a rich way. And I've never been to Nashville, actually. But I just love, it seemed just, I know, you know, it's a capital for music and it has a very rich culture, and so it definitely made me think, like, should I have gone to Nashville, or do I need to put this on the list of places I want to go? Because yeah, I really, really enjoyed the setting of this book a lot.
Yeah, for some reason I, like, my mind was blanking on the fact that Nashville does have this rich music history. Lately when I think of Nashville, I just think of, I've been dying to try, There's a place in LA, I forget what it's called, but it's like the Nashville hot chicken sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
My mind is set on it. I must try these sandwiches. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It added a lot. It wasn't just, you know, standard thriller. I personally haven't read too many stories in Tennessee that can, off the top of my head, I can think of.
Yeah, like, I just feel like the setting was a character in and of itself. And I feel like we've said that before about other books. But I think it's important for the setting, like, where you choose to set your book is important. And right. It does set a tone. And, you know, if you can really immerse the reader there, I feel like it just adds to the experience. So I really enjoyed that. Moving into Jessie, she, first of all, what happened to her was so horrific. Like, I couldn't believe that someone would do that to a child. It was just beyond words for me. Like, I wrote that in my notes. It was just beyond words. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like she was kind of failed, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, what happened to her, unimaginable, just awful. But after she got out, I wish that she would have had more support. And I felt like R.J. Jacobs really handled, like, this whole idea of stan culture and, you know, the obsessed fan is very fascinating to me. But I think, like, with Jessie's character, she's never vilified for this, you know, kind of fixation she has on the James, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, the James family.
Yeah, so she's not, like, vilified. We do know it's wrong, you know, stalking. Like, I feel like his stance on it wasn't pro-stalking. But we're empathetic with her situation. But I feel like, you know, after everything that happened, like, I know she has Mrs. Parsons or Miss Parsons, but I just wish she had, like, more support, you know, after that situation.
Yeah, and the book did give us a hopeful ending of her kind of getting support with the people in her life, with, like, Detective Marion and I think Andre, or was it Malik who she gets coffee with?
I think it's Malik,
okay,
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it just too, and her, I guess, obsession with the James family, it stems from a much deeper and more traumatic place, I think, than, like, traditional, like, stan culture, like, right. You were saying, where people get really invested in certain celebrities. I feel like what Jessie went through, like, there's a reason for that, you
exactly.
know, very clearly. They were the only thing that she had when she spent a full year in pitch black darkness all alone by herself as a, what, I think 10-year-old?
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, like, that was what kept her sane. I think she even said something about that, like, if she didn't have them, she would have spiraled into nothingness. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's just a very interesting, complex relationship. And what her character kind of goes through throughout the novel is interesting to me. Like, she's complex.
Yeah.
And you can see her growth throughout the book. And I was really fascinated by her.
Yeah. I guess I kind of want to rephrase what I was saying about her having support. I definitely want to echo what you just said. I think it was definitely done intentionally, right? Mm-hmm. Because, like you said, I mean, her dependency on their music and kind of, like, in her head, she has this idealized or romanticized idea of what their household is like, and we quickly find out it is not as perfect as it seems.
Because nothing is.
It never is. But, you know, yeah, like, I would say, because I always say this for those of you who've heard other episodes, I just want to give her a hug, but I know, you know, with physical contact, that's not her thing.
Let's talk about that for a second, because that was something that really bothered me, and it really hammers home the point, like, police are not equipped to handle all situations.
That part.
And that was something that was clearly exemplified in this book, and it really made me upset, like, when Marion and Williams first come to her house to question her. At least, like, the Williams was just straight up attacking her. He was treating her as if she couldn't understand what he was saying. He mm-hmm. was really aggressive in the way he was talking to her. And Marion kept trying to pull him back and, like, actually talk to Jesse like mm-hmm. a person. Like, it just, like, they're just not equipped. And so I feel like all Williams was doing was triggering her anxiety. Exactly. Making her close up because she wanted to help.
Mm-hmm.
She called them, you know, but he wasn't equipped in how to help her properly. And it's just really making me mad because, and again, like, they had their sights set on her and they weren't trying to look for anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But that really bothered me. And then again, several incidents occur where she ends up getting violent when she's touched without her permission.
Exactly.
Everything she's gone through a lot of trauma. She doesn't like to be touched, and that's perfectly fair and valid. Mm-hmm. And she even says, like, don't touch me, or the part where they go to handcuff her, she's like, can I put them on myself? Mm-hmm. He says no, but then she puts her hands in front of her because she's gonna watch him put it on her. Like, if she can't mm-hmm. do it herself, that's the next best thing. But then someone comes and touches her on the back, like,
mm-hmm.
She said don't touch her. Why right. do you keep touching her? Like, I don't understand how many times is it gonna take for y'all to stop touching her without mm-hmm. her permission. It's not that hard.
You know, that's a point I didn't really consider until now, but you're absolutely right. Like, and with this whole support thing, like, I just feel like had she had maybe a mental health professional present during these police interactions, it could have just made everything more smoother. They could have gotten their answers. Jesse would have been comfortable. But, you know, their hostility and their complete lack of regard for her, you know, her request, like you said, multiple times she states audibly, please don't touch me, you know, just. And true enough, you know, things turned violent, unfortunately, but it's like she did state that she was uncomfortable. Like, there's that piece of consent missing. Mm-hmm. And just in everyday interactions, actually, like, thinking about the workplace, for example, like, you can't just be touching people, no, you know?
Yeah, like, it angered me, because I feel like had Miss Parsons been there for that initial interrogation with Williams and Marion, it would have gone so much more smoothly, because she knew exactly how to talk to Jesse. I mean, Marion was really doing his best, and he was doing a lot to de-escalate the situation.
That's true.
Yeah, that's just something I wrote in my notes, like, police are not equipped for everything that people expect them to take care mm-hmm. of, or, like, the situations they are called in for. Like, that's what leads to, in this case, it led to violence. It led yeah. to someone with a broken nose, to Jesse running away because they didn't know how to handle it, because they're not trained for it.
Exactly.
And that, you know, that's not okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's particularly troubling just because, you know, and as readers, it's clear as day to us, but it's frustrating because it's just like, you know, had they had been trained to deal with these types of situations, or had someone who was trained, like, they could have gotten the outcome that they wanted.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
And so, it definitely, I really sympathize with Jesse, and I wanted her to get that support, but it was not there.
And let's, I guess, talking about the plot, I guess, moving along, because I'm thinking of something at the beginning of the book. As soon as Robert cornered her at her job and was like, oh, the Jameses really want to meet you, and they think it's going to be a good PR opportunity and you should definitely show up, because at this point, she has a restraining order. If you guys haven't read the book, the main character gets violent at one of the concerts of this husband and wife country duo that she's like obsessed with, and she has a restraining order against them, or they have a restraining order against her. And so she was going to cater this event, and she wasn't going to go because she knows she has a restraining order, but their manager, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Former.
Yeah. Manager, yeah. Shows up and tells her, yeah, no, it's totally fine. They really want to see you. They want to put this whole thing to bed. It was a huge misunderstanding. They didn't know about your childhood, yada, yada, yada. I was like, this has setup written all right? over it. And it really makes me angry because he took advantage mm-hmm. of Jesse's trauma. He knew she was going to want to believe that they want to forgive her.
Right.
And he knew how important they were to her. It was willing to throw her under the bus, ruin her life, get her sent back to jail to cover his own mess.
Right.
I was going to say mistake, but it wasn't a mistake. It was calculated. So his own mess that he created of stealing from them.
Ooh, you know what? It's giving irredeemable trash. It really is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're absolutely right. Like, he took advantage of her, and it was really harrowing, I always use that word harrowing, but yeah, I was really like, I felt really bad towards the end of the book. Later on, we learned with the situation with Robert, the former manager. Turns out he was stealing from the James duo and selling like exclusive merch on eBay. And this is what, or like VIP mm-hmm. behind
yeah,
the
I think both, yeah.
Yeah. So this was Jesse's main method to like access them. But she knew that it was him, but she didn't really think too much of it. But she starts to blame herself at the end and be like, I should have known, kind of thing, that he was not trustworthy.
Yeah.
But like you said, he's taking advantage of her. He knows her situation. He knows like the level that we're led to understand, like the level that she is kind of fixated on them is like unusual, and he knows this. Like you said, she had a restraining order, or they had a restraining order against her. So yeah, he takes advantage of the situation and just, I don't know, is he held accountable?
You know what, honestly, where the book ends, it doesn't really seem like it. I assume he's fired.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was a good red herring, because you know, the first thing we assume is that
He had
something to do with it at the very least. Because I was thinking, like, maybe he and Owen worked together. Because for a while there, I thought Owen might have had something to do with Shelley dying.
Mm-hmm. Same.
But, yeah, so, like, it was a good red herring, because in actuality, he was trying to set her up not for the murder, but for the stolen items.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was interesting. But, yeah, I don't really feel like he faces any repercussions. I mean, I guess we just have to assume that Owen James takes care of it outside of the novel.
Yeah. And just a quick little side note, I want to say I really enjoyed like her working the catering gig. I just felt like it was fascinating. It really took us deeper into this like Nashville music scene, and yeah, it was cool, like, being, well, before things turned south, like, being a fly on the wall with Jesse in these, like, elite settings, and
oh, like, even, like, her prep work, going yeah. into catering for events, he wrote that really well, like, mm-hmm. I just could clearly picture it, and yeah, I don't know, I like what you're saying, I agree.
Yeah, and then just kind of, like, what you were talking about earlier, I was here for Ken. Like, Ken, I felt like he was very supportive. He was understanding of Jesse's situation. I was sweating bullets, though, when, you know, we were at that point where Ken is about to find out
yeah.
Jesse's history. And I know it was, like, a matter of time, but I was like, no.
Because I don't want him to treat her any differently. Yeah. Because she is the person that you know and you like and who you hired. And she's trying to make a positive change. She's exactly. trying to move on from that. And I hate to see that follow her around forever. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like people, and obviously it always depends on the circumstance. I don't know if this is a blanket statement on everything anyone's ever done, but sometimes people really deserve second chances.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse was genuinely trying to make the best of her second chance. And so I just didn't want that to kind of like taint her relationship with Ken and with Andre and Malik, because they all seem to really get along.
Mm-hmm.
And they're especially understanding. Oh my gosh, I loved, like you were saying, how compassionate he was, knowing she didn't really like being in crowds
mm-hmm.
and talking to people. So like trying to the keeping her on the prep work, and then even when she started catering, like keeping her outside if people were inside, yeah. or keeping her on jobs that were very low contact. You don't have to talk to a lot of people. That was nice. Right. I appreciated that. That was, I guess, some of that support we wanted her to have.
Yeah, exactly. And you bring up a really good point about her kind of like her growth and her journey and second chances. Something I really enjoyed in this book is that we start to see, like, from the jump, you know, Jessie's the protagonist, we empathize with her, but we realize, like, she's starting to realize that the James duo, they're just regular people. Mm-hmm. They're flawed. You know, they have their own issues going on, and as the book progresses, she's like, I did kind of feel bad because she's like, I'm so embarrassed, and like, I still have their merch in this drawer that's locked in the bottom of my, you know, dresser or whatever. Mm-hmm. But she's starting to like understand and process that they're just regular people.
Yeah, there was a line specifically towards the end where she says she thinks about, you know, the person she was just a year ago who was following them on tour. And she said, I wonder what I was even hoping for by catching a glimpse of Owen and or Shelley. My distant involvement with them seems like a security blanket that I held onto for too long. Mm. And I think it definitely was, because it was what provided her comfort in a very horrific time of her life. Mm-hmm. And I think her letting go of her kind of fixation on them is also, in a way, her trying to let go or not move on from her trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just this fixation, it's what it means and what it's attached to. And that's a really hard thing to overcome.
Right.
And so I think that she's on that journey and in that process of trying to do that.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Kind of getting into the plot a little bit more, I want to talk, and I know we have the spoiler alert, so I guess I can freely say, because we've already spoiled everything else, but Finch being the killer.
Yes.
Wow. Wow, because, like, there was a lot, like, I was really guessing a lot the whole time trying to figure out who it was, because then I thought it was the manager and Owen, and then I was like, maybe it was Sean. I think that's the name of the Finch's boyfriend, right?
Yes.
I thought it was maybe Sean. Then I thought it was Sean and Finch together. And then I don't think Sean had anything to do with it. I think it was just Finch.
That's what I was wondering, because I know, wasn't Sean, like, wasn't he the one who chased Jessie?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. So at first, I was like, maybe they did it together, because, like, why else would he chase Jessie? But then when Jessie got out, like, when Miss Parsons was explaining it to her, she was saying how, like, Finch followed Shelley because they were fighting, right. And that Finch confessed. And so I was kind of left wondering, like, then why did Sean chase after her?
Maybe Sean thought Jessie killed? Yeah.
But did he even see her body? Oh, he was the one who placed a 911 call.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah, okay, duh. Gotcha. There we go. We together. Piece of yeah, he was the one, I think, who placed the 911 call. So, yeah, he probably saw and thought it was her.
Yeah, and I have to say, I genuinely did not see Finch being the murderer at all.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, completely out of the blue in the best way. Like, because, you know, that's one thing with thrillers. There's definitely, like, conventions of the genre. I was, like you mentioned earlier, with Robert being one of the red herrings, I was thinking, okay, is it Owen? Is it Sean? Like you said, like, there are so many routes it could have went. And I feel like, again, like, this is just great writing. I feel like the shock that I felt when I found out it was Finch reminded me of when I was little, I used to watch the show, I don't know if you've seen it, Veronica Mars.
I didn't, but I know everyone loves it. That's
a cult fave.
Yes, a cult fave.
Yes, my siblings and I, we all would watch it, and I just know that shock, that reveal, it was on par with this, because I was just like, whoa, so Finch is on some next level thinking stuff. And I understand, you know, it's explained in the ending, Finch did it because she felt like she wanted to keep her family together, and it's explained to us that she was adopted, I believe, by the James family, but it's also just kind of like, you killed somebody and you tried to get away with it?
Truly, your own mother. And it wasn't like an accident, like they were fighting and she pushed her. I mean, you should never even be pushing your mom, but like, whatever that was going down with her, but she like was bludgeoned.
Yeah. Nine times.
Like that was rage.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I was really surprised. I think my jaw actually did a little like, oh, when we found out it was Finch. Cause I was like, dang. And then for her to, that made me mad too. Is like, she had complete disregard for Jesse's life or quality mm-hmm. of life, because she's like, oh, who is she? She's a nobody. Like, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
If I frame her for murder by leaving the murder weapon in her car on purpose and then acting like she didn't know who she yes. was in front of her friends. And yeah, she was methodical. And
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm thinking of when Jesse broke into the Petersons to find evidence and Sean was on the phone and he said something about like, bring that girl crashing down or like ruin that girl's life or something.
Oh, that's right.
But now I'm trying to remember like what was that in reference to. Yeah, he's on the phone and he says, got rid of my shoes and clothes from last night so no dirt or whatever in the woods connects back to me. I vacuumed the car before my dad was up in the morning and I'll run it through a car wash. I mean, I guess he's just talking about, he doesn't want people to know about the affair maybe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
because though, and also yeah, then it might implicate him as her killer. And then he just said, Jesse couldn't hear him, but she heard the phrase, girl gets wiped off the face of the earth. And that's what made me think he was in cahoots trying to frame Jesse.
Because
I'm like, what else is he talking about there?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Did Finch tell him? What's the haps there?
Yeah.
Finch. Did Finch tell him?
But just kind of going back to what you were saying a minute ago, that whole, like, realization moment was playing in my head like a feature film. I'm like, Finch was acting her tail off. She, you know, she literally runs in front of the car. Jesse stops in the brakes, and she's playing this role. And Jesse drives her to the police station, even though she has the restraining order. Like, there's all these things that yes. could really have Jesse locked up. And she's, I know she's, like, late teens. I want to say 19. So she would definitely be tried as an adult, because she's an adult. And she does all this for this, you know, this poor teenage girl who has no remorse, has no...
Yeah, like, she's in the car, she's like, oh my god, like, I think my mom's dead, I think someone killed her, like...
Right, she pretended she didn't even know. She's like, wait, you're Jesse Duvall.
Yeah, like, she... What?
Yeah, that was wild.
It was, and I guess even the reveal of Sean being the guy that Shelley was having an affair yes. with was another thing for me, because I was like... I just knew that she was having an affair with Marion. Like, I don't know how I knew, but I
yeah,
just...
Yeah, he was a little too invested.
Just a little too much. So I was like, okay, she's definitely had an affair with him. And then they were implying there was someone else. And so, oh, and there was a point where I thought maybe Brian and Lacey Peterson had colluded to kill Shelley for some reason. Maybe because they found out about the affair with Sean or something. But okay. that ended up not being a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I did appreciate that there was a fair bit of, like, guessing and, like, whodunit. Because, like you were saying, with thrillers, I feel like it can kind of fall into the trap of being really predictable, even yeah. though it's not supposed to be. And this one definitely had me on the edge of my seat. But, yeah, her relationship with Sean.
Very, very troubling.
Wildly inappropriate. Like, he had just turned 18, correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's just so much. And, like, it's her... At the very minimum of everything that's wrong with it, it's her daughter's boyfriend. Right. At the maximum, Shelley's a full-on middle-aged woman, and this is a teenager.
Right. And I was confused because at one point it's revealed that Owen is older. And so I was like, but then there was yeah. a line specifically that stated she was 25 when she, like, we, through, like, this interesting little paranormal moment, Jesse is, like, envisioning... Or she's, like, talking to Shelley.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we learned that Shelley she grew up from, like, a lower economic background and, like, built herself up. And at 25 was when she met Owen. But then it said 10 years later. And I was like, okay, she's very much... And even then at 25 and 17, those are drastically different. But then I'm like, she's grown. She's grown, yeah. grown with a capital G. This is predatory.
Yeah. Yeah, and I actually kind of wish that we would have gotten some chapters from the perspective of Shelley.
Mm.
I think that could have been, like, before she died, that could have been really interesting to kind of establish her as a character, because I was, with everything that they were describing about her, I really wanted to know what was going on with her. What yeah. was she thinking? What was she going through? Because she appeared to be struggling with substance abuse. She was struggling in her relationship with Owen. Like, we're talking outside of the affairs. yeah, she just seemed, I was fascinated by what her perspective on things, I guess, is what I'll say.
Yeah, I know it was kind of like hinted that her and Owen's relationship failed just because they wanted different things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so yeah, they want different things, but they're still, for whatever reason, for money, for just because they've been doing it for decades already, or decade plus already, you know, they keep up this image. But you're right, like, it would have been kind of cool to just be like, you know, what's going on in her mindset?
Yeah.
Definitely whatever it was didn't justify dating a teenager, but
yeah, I just don't know, like, what led you to do these right. things and why. And yeah, so I guess just moving into our final thoughts, is there anything else that you want to say about the book before we close?
Yeah, I guess one thing that was kind of nice was just like the prospect of a romantic relationship with one of her coworkers, Malik. He was another one that seemed to like really respect her boundaries, and I like that we didn't get too much details. It was just like the promise of, you know, something good in Jesse's life, you know?
Yeah, just for him being, like you said, patient, understanding, and respectful of her boundaries, and not pushing her to something she wasn't comfortable with. And even outside of a romantic relationship, he just seemed like a genuinely nice person and a genuinely good friend.
Right.
You know, regardless of if that became a relationship or not. Like, we know that from the ending that it looks like it may go yeah. that route. But he just seemed like a genuinely nice person, and I liked that.
Yeah, and I believe there's a point where she reaches out to him, I think, to ask about grabbing coffee. And, like, I like that he doesn't let her past hang over her. Because, yeah. like, we can intuit that by this point he probably knows, you know, the cat's out the bag. But he also knows, okay, this is my coworker. She's reliable. She's good at her job. We were cool. I like that he didn't just completely, you know, discount her because yeah. of everything that had happened.
Judge her for her past. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And I think another thing that really helped the writing of this book is that RJ Jacobs is a psychologist himself. And I think that that's really reflected in in Jesse's relationship with Miss Parsons, mm-hmm. and even in his understanding of Jesse as a character and what she's going through. Like, I think his background obviously gives him the license to be able to write about these things in a way that's authentic and create a really full character. You know, like, not push her into a corner of some kind of stereotype, or that's something mm-hmm. that people just, maybe that they don't really understand, and they're just writing about it for the sake of writing about it. But I feel like there was definitely the knowledge and the background there. You could see it in Jesse's character.
Right. And something you said before we started recording that sticks out to me with that is that if this same story was written by someone who maybe didn't have that professional background, I don't think it would read, or I think there would be more room for, like you said, errors or just inaccurate depictions. So, like, I really felt while reading this that it came across as genuine concern, as, you know, like, her relationship with Miss Parsons. It seemed realistic. It seemed authentic.
Yes, yeah.
In other words.
Yeah, and this is totally, doesn't have to do with the content of the book, but I really like the cover. Because to me, it looks like trees, but it also looks like neurons.
Oh!
And so, yeah, like, I like that there's kind of that back and forth. I think it might be trees, but to me, like, when you glance at it, it can also be neurons. And I feel like that's just on brand and on theme. And so I appreciate that.
You know what? You're right. I can see the neurons, the synapses.
Yes. Like, that's, I don't know. I liked that. But I guess the big question for every episode of would you recommend this book? Yeah, I'll let you answer, and then I'll give my piece.
I'm going to have to go with a thumbs up. I'm going to say I would recommend. It's a pretty short, sweet weekend read. Maybe it's been raining here where we're at. A good little thriller to, yeah, I would say I would recommend it.
Yeah, I think it's a good, like you said, like a little, because it is kind of on the shorter side. So like maybe like a good vacation read.
Yeah.
Or like a good quick read if you're trying to get through something fast-paced and interesting. I would say my one complaint is it did kind of have a slow start. Mm-hmm. I feel like it didn't really pick up until, page 80 or
yeah.
so. But then once it picks up, it picks up. Like, it is anxiety-inducing, nail-biting, suspenseful. So it's definitely worth it when it gets to that. But it did have a definitely slow burn.
Yeah. And even if you made it this far and you haven't read the book, but you know all the tea and you know all the spoilers, I'd still recommend you read it just because, you know, we were hitting our main bullet points, but there's a lot of like nuance and detail that I think would be still exciting and interesting.
Yeah.
And worth your time.
And then also, we actually just want to give a shout out to RJ Jacobs. He reached out to us way back in October and asked if we would be willing to read the book and you know, give our thoughts and feedback. And we liked it and decided that we wanted to do an episode on it. So thanks so much for reaching out and giving us this read.
Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us today. If you like what you heard and want to stay in the loop, be sure to follow our Instagram and like our Facebook at Book Solid Podcast. You can also check out our Discord server where you can leave suggestions, engage in discussions, and take a deeper dive into our episodes. We'll have the links to all of our social media accounts in our episode show notes.